Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirits and the fire, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading, the letters. I believe we are in 115.
Yes. Letter number 115 to Mother Cecilia. My good and reverend mother, here I am for you after such a long silence. Dear Cecilia makes the thought arise in me of sending you my wishes. But what wishes could I send you? And here is the holy divine will coming before me and saying, my will never ends. I always have some to give. Therefore, send her as wish, my love, which rises continuously, my sanctity, which is ever new, my virtue, which is always working. I never tire of speaking, but I also want to receive the little love of the creatures, their will into mine, to be able to dispose them to receive into their will the prodigies which my divine will can do. Here is my little wish. Your will at the mercy of the divine will. In this way, you will feel within you the sanctity, the love, and the works of the supreme fiat as your own. Your life will no longer be of the earth, but of heaven. Your acts will be nothing but divine conquests, in which you will form as many Jesuses for as many acts as you do. So you will be able to bring Jesus to all. My good mother, I think you will appreciate my little wish more so, since it comes from the heart of a daughter who wants to see her mother as though carried in the arms of the divine will to become the saint it wants her to be. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So we know the divine will is inexhaustible, is immense, is eternal, because that's what God is in himself. The Blessed Trinity is perfect, is eternal. And this is how the divine will, or how the Blessed Trinity, since it's perfect and eternal, God himself, the correspondence of love from the creature, the creatures, us, has to be in that way, perfect and eternal, in order for our acts also to be complete and ordered and it is only through the union of the two wills, or the common communion, the common union of the two wills, with the divine will reigning in the creature, that this is possible. The creature, the divine will operating in the creature, renders the creature able to correspond to God, to adore him, in that way, which is perfect and eternal, as God is perfect and eternal. So the divine will wants to receive a little bit of love on us creatures, because compared to the love of God, our love separated from the will of God, that's what it is. Just a very little tiny love, imperfect, disorders, we can say disfigure. But as soon as we unite ourselves to God's will, as soon as we put our will, our human will, at the mercy of the divine will, then immediately that renders the soul capable of glorifying God again with his own sanctity, with his own love, and also allows us even to use the works of God himself in creation, to use them as means to glorify God, to go around and to find his love in creation, to love him back with his own love, with his own majesty, with his own beauty, with his own power, with his own immensity, with his own light, with his everything that is in creation. And that's basically what we do when we go around doing the rounds of creation. We find everything that is out there, all the attributes of God, and we glorify God with his own will. The human will, at the mercy of the divine will, finds everything and recognizes everything. So then that tiny human will is able to glorify God in at his own level, basically. And not only that, but also we learn, the more we learn to enter into this way of living, then also to correspond God and to appease the justice of God, even with what is in creation, to use the light of the divine will that is displayed all over creation, in the sun, in the stars, in the moon, in the skies, to compensate for the darkness of the human mind, to compensate for all the evil, because evil is represented by darkness, and asking God that with his own light, he may eclipse all the darkness of the human will, all the evil that the human will is able to do and that is at work in the world. And not only the darkness of the human mind and the will, but also that to eclipse, asking God himself, the Blessed Trinity, to eclipse the work of the evil one himself. I'm not talking about here of the human will anymore, but the work of the evil one are working in the world. So this, the again, the more we enter in this way of living, the more we discover, because as Luisa Picarreta says, and she mentions here, the divine will never ends. It has always something to give more. It's inexhaustible. And the more the creature enters into the immensity of life, of light, of the divine will, the more the creature discovers how to glorify God, the more the creature discovers the divine truth that is God himself, and how can the creature is able to use all the attributes of God to make to take all the attributes of God to compensate and to beg also for the divine will to descend upon earth. That's the main purpose now for everybody who knows the divine will. That should be the main purpose from now on, that everything may be offered for that purpose. Remember, the people in the Old Testament, the Blessed Mother herself was praying for the coming of the Messiah. That promise has been fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles and the Blessed Mother, they remain faithful and in prayer, in silence, for the fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That has been fulfilled. Now what is left of is the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. And this is what these writings are all about. Our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in volume 14 and 15. Later, we see we can have a chance to read those, that this is what everybody's praying, that the church is praying for this. So now, in the same way that all the sacrifices were directed towards the coming of the Messiah, all the prayers were directed towards the coming of the Messiah, and the acts of the Blessed Mother herself, they were as magnets. Every act of the Blessed Mother was a magnet calling the divine will to descend upon earth, and she hastened the coming of the Messiah. She hastened the coming of the Messiah through her acts. Also, in the writings of Maria Valtorta, we find that the Blessed Mother, through her prayers, she hastened also the resurrection by some hours. Through her prayers, she hastened the coming of the resurrection. So now we hasten the coming of the kingdom of the divine will when we direct, repurpose everything. So it's very important that as we celebrate the life of the saints, as we remember from now on, all of that, we repurpose. Even we can do that with our loved ones now who have passed. Because even if they didn't know this gift and everything that they did, everything good that they did, everything pious, all of the sacraments that they receive, now that we have the knowledge and we try to understand the gift of the divine will, we know how to repurpose everything that they did. So this will place a crown, the final touch, the final crown that they needed in heaven, basically. That's what our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta in volume 29, our main passage that we have been studying. And we have based our classes now on that understanding. So you see that the same thing that we, the same example that we apply in the works of creation to glorify God with His own majesty, with His own love, with His own sanctity, with His own beauty, with His own light. And then in the same way that we use that to compensate for all the offenses, we can apply that with the works of redemption and sanctification. We can love God with His own sacrifice, with His own our Lord Jesus, with His own descending upon earth, with His own incarnation, with every heartbeat of His and everything, all His acts. We can beg for the kingdom of the divine will to descend along with our acts every day. And also we can repurpose basically our acts and the acts of the saints. And for all the offenses that are done to our Lord Jesus and to God Himself, to the Blessed Trinity, because we have to understand that all the offenses that we do is not only against our Lord Jesus, is not only against the Holy Spirit, is not only against the Heavenly Father, is against God Himself, which is three. And we can say against His will, His very will, His love, and everything that He is. So we can use everything that the Blessed Trinity has done in the works of creation, redemption, sanctification to compensate also, to beg for forgiveness, to appease divine justice. And with his own purity, with his own love, with his own chastity, with his own joy, and everything that he is, we can't ask and beg for forgiveness for every offense, for every bad word that is said against God. We can use and repair and glorify God with every single word of our Lord Jesus, with every one of his miracles, with every one of his steps, with every heartbeat of his, to compensate for all the offenses done to him. And we can do that with the same, with the acts of sanctification. We can offer the Holy Spirit his own love to compensate for all the abandonment, for the lack of love in the world, of the world towards God. And especially during this month of June that is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in which our Lord appears to Margaret d'Alacoque and he says, "I want to be loved. The world doesn't love me enough. It doesn't love me at all. So I want you. Your mission is to make me love." And he wants to be loved in the sacrament of the Eucharist. He wants to be loved in his word. He wants to be loved in his will. He wants to be loved. He wants to be recognized in everything that he has done for us. And in this way of living, the Blessed Trinity wants to be loved in everything that the Blessed Trinity has created. So that's why it's important also to learn how to do the rounds, because God wants to be loved basically with his own love, and in and through creation, in and through redemption, in and through sanctification. So it's a matter of learning how to go deeper and deeper every time into this way of living. And guided by the Holy Spirit, we should continue to grow in that way. Persevere in this way of living. So let's try to go to the next letter.
Letter number 116 to Sister Mercedes. My good and reverend mother, thank you for all your attentions. As the divine will is known more, you will be able to expand its unending boundaries within your soul and will make our highest good happy. My mother, this is the only happiness of Jesus, that the soul live in his will, because he can give whatever he wants and can make of her one of his greatest portents of sanctity. He recognizes her as his daughter and gives her his own divine will as her dwelling. He makes her share in all his goods, and in each one of her acts, he forms his divine life. As many Jesuses for as many acts as we do. What happiness to be able to say, if I live in the divine will, I will form the divine generation within my acts, which will love Jesus with his own love. Not only this, but they will love him in all hearts, and even in the saints and in the Queen of Heaven. We will be the bearers of the love of all to our Creator. Dearest Mother, Christmas is near, and I anticipate my wishes by wishing you the divine generation in your acts, the only purpose for which we were created. God gives us the place of honor in his will, in order to give us his likeness and say, my daughter is like me in everything. May the celestial baby be enclosed in your heart to form he himself. this generation, all divine and celestial. I leave you in the divine volition as your refuge, help, and defense. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Corrado, November 11th, 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. See, one thing that Luisa Bricarreta, she mentions here right at the beginning is that as the divine will is known more and more, she says you will be able to expand its ending boundaries within your soul. We know this already. You have been studying the divine will for a long time now. We know what happens in the soul, that the soul expands, is a reality, a spiritual reality that we don't see it, but just in the sacraments, in the same way that is a visible sign of invisible reality. Our acts are visible signs of doing everything, but that is deeper when they are united to the divine will, something deeper happens. So for me, this is what I call the sacramentality of living in the divine will, or the sacrament of living in the divine will. So I'm not saying that there is another sacrament, an extra sacrament. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if we look this way of living through the sacramental life of the church, we know that the sacraments are visible signs of invisible realities. Bread, wine, light, oil in baptism, oil in confirmation, signs, visible signs, the cross, the putting of the water, the absolution in confession, the anointing in the sacrament of the sick, and all of this. So our eyes, even though our senses, they tell us, well, it's bread, it's wine, it's oil. Those are the visible signs of invisible realities. We know that after the words of consecration, the words of institution, is no bread anymore, is no wine anymore, but is Jesus himself in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, that we call transubstantiation, is the teaching of the church found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, numbers 1413. So in there we find that teaching of the church. So you see, it's visible signs, but it's an invisible reality. So it's the same with the sacrament of living in the divine will. I'm just using that word in this context. Again, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that there is an eighth sacrament. So what are the visible signs of living in the divine will? We continue to pray. We continue to do everything as normal. You continue to breathe. You continue to sleep, to eat, to work, to go to Mass, to go to confession, to receive the sacraments. But now in union with the divine will and our Lord, he tells us over and over, and in that famous passage of volume 14, May 27, 1922, that we should know it by heart, the prevenient and the actual act now, he tells us what happens in the soul. The soul expands. And it continues to expand, to enlarge. So that's the invisible reality, because we don't experience that, we don't see it. But as Luisa Picaretta mentions here, you know, this letter was written in 1942, 5 years before she died. So she knows the doctrine of the divine will, she possesses the divine will operating in her soul. And she is able to talk about this expansion of the kingdom of the divine will in the soul, that you acquire more capacity for the divine. Every time we do acts in union with the divine will, Every time we read more, we read these beautiful writings, we are able to expand the unending boundaries within our soul. This is very important, unending. Unending boundaries. Even though we are finite creatures, the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal, it will live forever. And that's why that's the most important part of our makeup, because it is eternal. And if we ponder about that word eternal, we should be a little bit scared, because imagine spending eternity, right, in heaven, which is pure joy and perfection and happiness, and just knowing God over and over and more and more and more, being filled with the light of God, and in that, being immersed in that eternal light, which is God, for all eternity, which is pure joy, perfect joy. That should give us hope and stir in our hearts that joy and that fervor to be united one day with God Himself. But on the other side, it should make us scared to think that we can also go to the other place that is very tropical, too tropical, very hot. And it's for all eternity. But it doesn't have to be like that, because God gives us all the means to grow here, to acquire that capacity for one day to spend all eternity in union with Him. And not only that, but to enlarge our containers, which is our soul. To allow Him to give us everything that He wants to give us. So to possess His sanctity, His love, His life, His beauty, everything that He is, so many things, science, mercy, and everything that we don't even understand, because the soul, the capacity of the mind, the faculty, one of the faculties of the soul, is so limited and it's been darkened by the fall. So it is only in this way, through the sacraments and in this way of living, that we begin to enlarge our containers and basically prepare our whole journey here on earth. Basically, it's a preparation for eternity. And every single truth that we come to know, and we ponder about, and we meditate, and we try to understand and to learn and to live and to make it ours in our soul, that will constitute one day our happiness too. And it's very interesting here that Lisa Picaretta says that even the divine will recognize, or God Himself recognizes, those children of His as little daughters of the divine will. So I ask you last class to really ponder, what does it mean to be a little daughter of the divine will? What does it mean to be a little child of the divine will? And as you continue to pray about that and to meditate on that, this is a good place also to learn that everything that we do must be directed towards that coming to the generation also of the new souls that will come to know this gift. How? I remember one time I asked Father Julio, sometimes I used to call him, and one time I asked him about, we used to talk a little bit about the divine will. And one time I asked him about this being the acts in the divine will, and also like multiplying our acts in the divine will, because that came to mind, as Lisa Picaretta in this letter says, as many Jesus, as many acts as we do. I asked him about the divine lives. What does it mean really, the divine lives? But I remember that he used the example of the Eucharist. He said, yes, so every host that is consecrated contains the divine life, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as many hosts that you have, as many divine lives you have. So use that example then in your acts. Imagine that every single act is a host in which Jesus is real present. So for every single act that you do, as many Jesus as you have, as many divine lives. And also, you know, so that I think that was a very good example. It helped me to understand that in every single act, our Lord Jesus is present there. But also that if we look at this now, that if for every single act that we do, our Lord Jesus will grant us one soul in the divine will, meaning that for every single act that we do in union with the divine will, the Lord will give the grace to other souls to know this gift in the future. So in a way, that's the generation of the generation of the divine acts, basically. So what in one way to see it is that when we do acts in union with the divine will, those are the divine generation of acts in the divine will, as Luis Picaretta says here. If I live in the divine will, I will form the divine generation within my acts. So one way to see it is that every single act that we do in the divine will, of course, Jesus is present there. That's one way to see it, as we can see it in the Eucharist, but also that if I live in the divine will, I will form the divine generation within my acts, that for every act that I do, the Lord Jesus will grant us a soul to know the grace to know the divine will. Kind of like what he said in the hours of the Passion, that Luisa was kind of like bargaining with our Lord. Okay, what are you going to give me if I write the hours of the Passion, if I pray with the hours of the Passion? And the Lord says, for every word, I will grant you a soul. And then she's not content and she says, but what about those who will do the same? And the Lord says, I will give them the same. So another way to see this generation of the kingdom of the children of divine will also is that the Lord may grant us that gift that for every act we do in the future, the souls will come to know the divine will. But also we know also that now if we have that purpose specifically for offering everything for the divine will, of course he will grant that. Because now everything, remember, everything is for the main purpose of the hastening of the kingdom of the divine will. And that, of course, that's one of the central elements to be a daughter, a son of the divine will. So now, that doesn't mean that you are not able to include your personal intentions in your rosary, in the mass, in everything you do. Yes, you can offer, but the main purpose, remember, the Bible tells us, Sacred Scripture tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be given on to you. Okay, it is very clear if we see it in this way. But of course, we have to remember that we are so used to our prayers and so used to our human will, me, myself, and I, myself, and me. This is one way to see that divine generation of acts. It says, let me read again. If I live in the divine will, I will form the divine generation within my acts, which will love Jesus with his own love. Not only this, but they will love him in all hearts. and even in the saints and in the Queen of Heaven, will be the bearers of the love of all to our Creator. So is the divine will is the thing that unites us all. Because in heaven, we have to understand that since heaven is perfection, there is not a human attachment of being a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife. Remember, in the sacrament of matrimony, it says until death do us apart. Because once we die, that human attachment is removed. I'm sorry for all of you mothers and and we love our families and our parents and grandparents and everything, and that's very important. But in heaven, that human love is that attachment is gone, because everybody is united in loving God. What unites us or unites all the saints in common is their love for God, and God, they participate in God's love, and everybody loving each other with the love of God. So it is perfected. That human love is being perfected. So now, yes, you will be able to love your mother, your father, your son, your wife, your husband, but not with a human love. You will love them in a perfect way, not with a human attachment, but with God's love. And why? Because they are united in one single will over there. And that's the miracle also for us, that now we can enter into that way of living. We can enter into the way of living, into heaven's way of living from here on, beginning by uniting ourselves with the will of God, having that constant desire of offering everything up for the kingdom to come, to glorify God for the good of all the human race, and to give praise and glory to Him for this gift to descend, because it will really set the world on fire, but enkindle the world with the fire of the love of God in the hearts of everybody. So it begins in a little, as the Lord says, the kingdom of God is like a little mustard seed. So it's a very little. It begins with one simple act, even with the act of believing, with the act of faith, because it takes an act of the will even to say, I don't understand, but I choose to believe. I don't understand how this expands my soul, but I choose to believe. I don't understand how this glorifies God, but I choose to believe. I don't see my soul growing in, but I choose to believe. And we do the same with the sacraments. I don't understand the doctrine of transubstantiation, but I choose to believe that when I receive the Eucharist, is the real presence of our Lord in His body, blood, soul, and divinity, that He is present in me. And I choose to believe that when I unite myself in with His will, that's a prolongation, that's an extension of the Mass, that He then remains in me, not sacramentally, but by participation, by uniting myself with His will, and He is breathing, palpitating, operating in me, even though I don't see it. But constantly, constantly, we choose to believe. That's an act of faith, and the more merit for us because we don't see it. You see, this requires, this way of living requires faith. That's why we need the sacrament of baptism. God initiates everything. He gives us the faith, the gift of faith, because He knows we need it. As we know, faith is God Himself. And now that we are basically catechizing ourselves into this way of living, We seek to bring everything together, you know, the deposit of faith that is given to us, and trying to understand that with the gift of divine will, because we cannot depart from that either. We must try to understand these writings in that light, in that foundation. So that's why, again, it's important to have in mind all of this. So that's the way I see the divine generations, the divine generation of Acts. Luisa Picaretta at the end, she says, dearest mothers, Christmas is near, and I anticipate my wishes by wishing you the divine generation in your acts. So the only purpose for which we were created to be united with God, that He will operate in us. God gives us the place of honor in His will in order to give us His likeness and say, my daughter is like me in everything. The little daughters and children and of the divine will, we have to become a little bit like him every day, more and more and more and more. But the good thing is that he himself molds us. It is through the grace of his Holy Spirit that he molds us. He just requires our consent, our human will, to be at the mercy of his divine will, as Luisa Picaretta was mentioning the previous letter. So one way to say it is like, you know, I abandon myself in your divine will. I entrust myself in your divine will. I want to dissolve, to be dissolved in your will, Lord, and to beg the Blessed Mother to help us to enter into that way of living, and through her maternal hands, she may insert us in that way of living, and that we may remain that in that way. So, let's go to the next letter.
Letter number 117. My good daughter in the divine volition, thank you for your attentions. May heaven reward you and give you so much grace as to make you live in the sea of the divine will. By living in it, we can say that we are in our home. We have our place of honor. We live together with Jesus. His pains are ours and ours are his. And they do all that his pains do. They run to the help of all. We love God for all. The very saints yearn for our tiny acts done in the divine will, because being acts of pilgrim souls, they possess the conquering act. And they almost enclose themselves in our act to receive new joys, greater happiness. Divine will, how admirable and incomprehensible is our little capacity, to our little capacity are you. I commend myself to your prayers, leaving you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint. I would love that you would not interest yourself in anything else but to live of divine will. Strip yourself of everything, and in everything you do, let the divine will dispose everything. How beautiful it is to be able to say, Jesus is the master of all. May he do whatever he wants, even with my breath, with my heartbeat, and with my whole being. I send you my regards from the heart, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. There is one passage in volume 14. I think we read it before, but this is what the Lord says almost at the end of volume 14, May 1922, is the previous passage before the prevenient, the actual act passage. It says the following. If the blessed in heaven enjoy all the beatitude which my will contains, and live in it as in their own center, they do not, however, multiply it, since their merits are fixed in them. You are happier than they are, being able to multiply my life, my will, my goods in them, excuse me, my goods, then in them my will is the beatifier, and in you it is operative. And I ask for your acts in order to multiply myself. So that's another way to see it. No, in heaven, the saints, they are fixed, they just enjoy the beatific vision. The will of God allows the is the beatifier, allows